KPBS On Demand is supported by Splitero, helping homeowners pay off debt by offering streamlined access to your home's equity with no additional monthly payments or new debt. Splitero provides a lump sum payment in exchange for a share of your home's future value. Pre-qualification is available at Splitero.com.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Tuesday, May 20th. How the city of San Diego plans to rein in police overtime. More on that next, but first, the headlines. San Diego County measured a 7% drop in homelessness this year. That's according to data released today from this year's point-in-time count. The annual census of people experiencing homelessness provides a snapshot of the region's progress. Metro reporter Angie Bowen says the most encouraging data relates to the unsheltered homelessness.
The county saw a 72% drop among homeless families with no access to shelter, and a 25% decline among unsheltered veterans. That means even if families and vets can't find permanent housing, many more of them are at least finding temporary shelter. Less encouraging is the number of people living in vehicles, which rose 7% compared to last year.
Older adults remain one of the most at-risk populations for homelessness. The county saw a 5% increase in seniors experiencing homelessness for the first time. The family of Sandiegan Ashley Babbitt settled its wrongful death lawsuit with the federal government. Babbitt was shot and killed by a Capitol Police officer during the January 6th insurrection in 2021. The lawsuit brought by Babbitt's family and the conservative group Judicial Watch claimed the police officer who shot Babbitt did so without warning. The Department of Justice did not pursue criminal charges against Lieutenant Michael Byrd, the officer that killed Babbitt. Capitol Police say Byrd would not face discipline. Court filings indicate a settlement was reached but don't reference the monetary value. Leaders of San Diego's biomedical research community are warning about risks to proposed cuts to the National Institutes of Health. The NIH funds research and development at universities and institutions, including here in San Diego. The Trump administration is threatening to cut the NIH budget by about 40%. At a news conference yesterday, San Diego County Supervisor Tara Lawson-Reamer said she would introduce a board resolution asking Congress to restore the cuts. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Splitero, helping homeowners pay off debt by offering streamlined access to your home's equity with no additional monthly payments or new debt. Splitero provides a lump sum payment in exchange for a share of your home's future value. Pre-qualification is available at Splitero.com.
San Diego's highest-paid city employees are cops, who work a tremendous amount of overtime. That's according to a recent investigation from KPBS. I spoke with investigative reporter Scott Rodd about how the city and the police chief plan to rein in overtime hours and spending. Scott, thanks for joining me. In a nutshell, tell us what your investigation found.
Well, we found that the highest paid city employees probably are not who you might think. It's not the mayor, it's not the chief of police, it's not the city attorney. It's in fact cops, police officers who are working tremendous, tremendous amounts of overtime, as you had mentioned in the intro. We found that some of these officers were working thousands of hours of overtime. Some were making over $400,000 per year. And we dug into how this can create issues with officer fatigue. It can create issues where researchers point out that when officers work that long, it can create issues of interacting with the public. It can create concerns about increased number of complaints or perhaps use of force incidents as well. Now, I'll note the average officer works probably only a few overtime hours per week. So these officers are definitely out of the norm, but they are, while at the higher end, making tremendous, tremendous amounts of money.
And what did Chief Walls say when you asked him why police are working so much overtime?
Well, he said that essentially the department is short-staffed, and this isn't a secret. This has been discussed quite a bit among the city council. It's been an issue that's been ongoing for a number of years now, but Chief Walsh said, look, we have to fill these vacancies with overtime. That's how we do it. And he said, this is how he described the typical officer sort of day in the life when they get to work.
So you come to work, second you walk, drive out of the station, you're going to a call, and then you're dropping what you're doing, you're going to another call and another call and another call until you go home. No time to problem solve, no time to community police.
And that issue of community policing, he really hammered home. He said officers can't do the kind of community interaction, problem solving that he would really like to see. Instead, they're really focusing on just getting to calls, trying to reduce call response times, which still are pretty high. And that's really all they have time to do. And overtime is essential for them to just cover those basic policing requirements.
And does Chief Wall have any concerns about his officers working that much overtime?
Yes and no. So in terms of some officers making a lot of money in overtime, being the highest paid city employees, he really wasn't bothered by that. He said, look, they work this overtime and they earn that money. He also said he has a lot of faith in his officers as well as their supervisors to identify if officers are having problems with, working too much overtime, feeling burnout, perhaps needing a check-in, maybe needing to pull back on overtime. So he said he has, a lot of trust that those officers will be able to manage sort of what they need and that the department has those safeguards in place. However, he did say that he wants to make some changes to make things more efficient and reduce some overtime hours if possible. One of those is through civilian employees. Here's what he said about that.
I went through a reorganization when I took over here. I really am trying to bring the civilian staff in to run the business side of this organization, if you will, and get officers out in the field doing police work. Our civilian employees help keep this place running 24/7.
And so those civilian employees can do things like records management, interacting with the community, doing kind of like non-emergency stuff. So he does want to see more civilian employees. He said he's also supportive of capping overtime shifts or capping shifts period at 16 hours and requiring 8-hour breaks in between. Currently, there is no limit for overtime or shift lengths for the department. This, of course, would have to get some buy-in from the police officers union, however.
Well, San Diego's facing a huge budget deficit. The latest estimate has it at over $300 million. How will that impact the department's overtime policy?
It's a great question. Every department is feeling the crunch right now to find efficiencies, trim back on their spending wherever they can. The police department, of course, is no different. Maybe they're feeling it a bit less than some other departments, but they are under, some pressure to see where can we save some money. Overtime is one of those areas. One way he said they could do that is through a centralized system for tracking and monitoring overtime.
I've been speaking with KPBS investigative reporter Scott Rodd. Scott, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That was investigative reporter Scott Rodd. Read his investigation at kpbs.org. Nearly two-thirds of Americans with Alzheimer's are women. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says UC San Diego researchers are trying to find out why and whether lifestyle changes could help prevent it.
The Women, Inflammation, and Tau study is tracking how lifestyle factors like sleep quality, diet, and activity might be driving up inflammation and how they may be linked to Alzheimer's disease.
Along with how maybe sex hormones like estrogen and testosterone might impact that too, we might be able to understand how best to intervene to improve things which will actually have a cognitive benefit to women.
Sarah Banks is a neuropsychologist who is co-leading the study. So far, the early data found that how women sleep may be a risk factor.
We think that sleep apnea is this under-recognized, highly treatable component that might be driving some of the memory problems in Alzheimer's disease.
A surprising 70% of women in the study had undiagnosed sleep apnea. Banks says sleep disruption can lead to higher levels of a protein called tau in the brain, especially in women with a genetic risk for Alzheimer's. She says they are looking for 50 more women over 65 to join the study. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
Although local Republican and Democratic parties usually look to national parties to set positions on issues, it is local leaders who get to pick and choose which ones they like and which ones to toss. Public Matters reporter Amita Sharma spoke with Corey Gustafson and Kyer Crail-Frolander of the San Diego Republican Democratic parties, respectively, to get their take on President Trump's first 4 months in office.
Corey, the San Diego Chamber of Commerce says the Trump administration's tariffs on foreign goods and the promise of more have created uncertainty and could potentially devastate the local economy, creating empty shelves, supply chain issues, layoffs. How do you view these tariffs?
Well, look, I think number one, tariffs from the perspective of the Trump administration are about national security. We have a tremendous inflow of fentanyl coming in over our southern border. And what we've seen under the Trump administration already is a 97% reduction in illegal immigration. We've seen him take the first narco-terrorism charges against drug cartels that was just issued in the San Diego courts last week because President Trump made the cartels into terrorist organizations.
Kyle, the administration says the goal of these tariffs is to return manufacturing to the United States, a process that some economists say could take up to 15 years. What are the realities of the Trump administration's tariffs?
These tariffs are only going to be a tax on the American people, increase prices yet again, and squeeze us out even more. We have a binational economy here in San Diego. Tijuana and San Diego, and of course, Mexico and the United States are two of the closest trading partners. And if you increase tariffs, you're only going to drive down business and reduce investment on both sides of the border and hurt working people.
Kyle, I want to pivot very, very quickly to the local San Diego County Board of Supervisors race. This is a race between Chula Vista Mayor John McCann and Imperial Beach Mayor Paloma Aguirre. This is to fill the District 1 seat. How do you think what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now affects this local race?
We have an amazing candidate in Paloma Aguirre. She has been fighting very hard to address the most pressing issue in South Bay, which is the terrible cross-border pollution crisis. She's been fighting for this for many years. This is not something new to her, and that makes her unique in this. And I bring that up as part of the federal government because this is a solution that needs to take the federal government's role into account. It's not just going to be done locally, though we do need local work from the county board and all other jurisdictions. But we need the administration to work with Mexico, make sure that they fulfill their part of the bargain, and also make sure that we continue our side to fix the problem on our end as well.
Corey, if McCann wins, Republicans will once again have a majority on the San Diego County Board of Supervisors after a multiple-year hiatus. What would be the priorities of a Republican-dominated Board of Supervisors in 2025?
Well, number one, I would say homelessness. We have to get the problem under control. And Republicans around San Diego County, people like John Franklin, the mayor of Vista, Republican politicians and mayors are putting forward solutions on cutting homelessness and getting people off of the streets while providing them shelter. I think a Republican Board of Supervisors will really be able to attack the homelessness crisis and fix what we see going on. When you go to a Padre game, you see homeless people everywhere. This is Democratic failed policies.
Okay, back to what's going on in Washington, D.C. and the potential repercussions for San Diegans. Kyle, close to 1 million people are on Medicaid in San Diego County. The House GOP is proposing sweeping cuts to the program. Without Medicaid, what options do people here have for health care?
Well, you know, we need Medicaid. It is foundational to our healthcare system, both in California and across the country. And it's a guarantee that people will not be left out without having health insurance, which is vital for the health of our economy, not just for those individuals. But it's also lost in this that these cuts, these terrible extremist cuts, are meant to just be able to fund a tax bill that would be a huge giveaway to the billionaires. We would see the shutdown of many, many of our local hospitals if these drastic, draconian extremist cuts to Medicaid go into effect.
Corey, Republican Senator Josh Hawley has said these cuts to Medicaid, if they go through, are morally wrong and politically suicidal. Do you agree?
Oh, I don't agree with the question. These are not cuts. These are making sure that the folks who are eligible for Medicaid are eligible. These are just standards that Republicans are putting in there, making sure there's not any waste, fraud, and abuse, making sure that the people who are actually on the program are eligible. So I think this is fantastic. It's something that the Obama administration tried to do in 2008 to 2016, but they failed. Republicans are saving taxpayers' money.
That was Corey Gustafson and Kyle Crail-Frohlander of the San Diego Republican and Democratic Parties, speaking with KPBS's Amitha Sharma. At least 16 students in the San Diego Unified School District have destroyed their school-issued laptops as part of a TikTok challenge. Education reporter Katie Anasta says the district is asking families for help to stop what it calls a troubling trend.
It's called the Chromebook Challenge, and it involves sticking sharp objects like paperclips or pencil lead into the USB ports of Chromebooks. It can cause the laptops to spark or smoke. The district's student school board members urged their classmates not to participate in a message to the district, calling it wasteful, dangerous, and careless. San Diego Unified students are issued new Chromebooks in 2nd, 6th, and 9th grade. The district says at least 16 students from three different schools have destroyed their computers by participating in the challenge. The district says Chromebooks cost about $450 each to replace, and that discipline was handled by each school. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. Check out KPBS Midday Edition this afternoon. An active duty sailor discusses Trump's ban on trans service members. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Tebby Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Tuesday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Splitero, helping homeowners pay off debt by offering streamlined access to your home's equity with no additional monthly payments or new debt. Splitero provides a lump sum payment in exchange for a share of your home's future value. Pre-qualification is available at splitero.com.